The reading is Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and which can be found in the service sheet. Malachi 3, 1 to 5. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Would the children like to come to the front, please? Sit down on the back. Sit down on the floor.
Our second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Mary and Joseph took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A- As we sit, we pray. Father God, we pray that by your Spirit you'll open our hearts and our minds to your word, and by the same Spirit you will open your word to our hearts and our minds. Amen. Looking ahead, the people in the weather forecasting department are telling us that at the end of this week, next weekend, there could be more snow. Just a quick consumer survey. How many people would be looking forward to snow next weekend? And how many people would not be looking forward to snow this weekend? I think the no's probably have it, although if we included the votes from what was going on outside there, I think that might tip it the other way. The thought of not having to go to school and make a snowman would probably tip it in favour. We have had some remarkable weather, and perhaps that's why I've been alert in a particularly unusual way to the Psalms that I've been reading this week. And I was reading a psalm this week where it said that the Lord had laid the waters on the land. What a wonderful picture. The Lord had laid the waters on the land. And I was reading another psalm, and it said that God had caused the rain to fall upon the hills. And then it spoke about the waters coursing and surging their way in floods and in torrents as the rivers made their way across the land to the sea. I'm jolly sure the farmers really don't want any more rain. I'm sure they're grateful the Lord has laid his hand upon the land, but they don't want any more floods and any more water laid upon it. I say that just as we begin to look at the scriptures for this morning. If you can keep in your mind the idea of the rains of heaven given abundantly and superabundantly, and the idea of the waters flooding and coursing and finding their way through the rivers. I noticed that from your program that you're following a series of sermons on Luke's Gospel. And in the Church of England, we don't always follow it or do it in the same way, but many churches follow a different gospel each of the years. So this is the year when most people are thinking about Luke's Gospel. That's the Luke, that's the Gospel reading throughout the year. And one of the things that is distinctive about Luke's Gospel is that he reminds us in imagery and in action of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so Luke's Gospel begins with the story of Zechariah, called that day by rote and rotation to be celebrating in the temple of God. And there, when he's worshipping God, we read that an angel appears to him and tells him that his wife is to have a child. And the angel says, "And the child will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb." Right from the very beginning of life, John the Baptist, as we came to know him, was filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't need to wait for confirmation. He didn't need to wait for a bishop. He didn't have bishops in those days. The Spirit was present, of which the reading for this morning drops right into the middle of. So right at the very beginning, we have that promise of the child who will be born, wondrously born, a gift of God, and who was to be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. The next time we hear of the Holy Spirit is when Mary receives also a visitation from an angel, and the angel says to her, "And you will give birth to a child, and you will call him Jesus, for he will be a saviour of all the people." And Mary says, "How can this be? For I am a virgin. How can this be? I know no man." And the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." And those are wonderful and precious words. I hope their confirmation candidates will take those words home. Again and again, you'll be asking, we all ask, how can this be? How can we do this? How can we make sense of this? And at those times, we speak to God, and we discover again and again, his Holy Spirit overshadows us, watches over us, and leads us. The next time we hear of the Holy Spirit is that Mary, filled with this good news, rushes to see her cousin, Elizabeth, up in the hill country of Judea. And we read that the babe in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy at the presence of Mary and the infant Christ yet to be born. And we read that Mary and Elizabeth, as they speak, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. The story goes on, and the baby is born, the baby John the Baptist, and they expect him to be called Zechariah after his father, Zechariah. And his father writes on a tablet, "His name shall be John." And we read that not only is his mouth opened at that moment, but we read, and Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so in these very early chapters, we're hearing about the life of the Holy Spirit and the power and the presence that he gives to those who are open to him. And then we come on to Luke chapter 4, and after the baptism of Jesus, and we have two baptisms this morning. At the baptism of Jesus, we read of the heavens being opened and the voice of God being heard and the Spirit descending like a dove. And the Father says, "You are my beloved Son. You are the one in whom I am well pleased. I love you. My Spirit, my presence, my power is upon you." So for Ross and for Norma, we'll just look up as we baptize you, because we're going to look up to the heavens. We're asking God to speak to you in your heart. He may not speak in a way we can all hear this morning, but saying, "You are my beloved son and daughter, and my Spirit is upon you. You are the ones that I love." Jesus says to you and says to us, "You are the ones that I have died for the forgiveness of sins." And that's what the baptism reminds us of, the forgiveness of sins and the new life that God offers us. After the baptism, we read that Jesus goes into the wilderness. And actually, what Luke says is that Jesus was full of the Spirit, and the Spirit drives him out into the wilderness. I don't really like the Jerusalem Bible translation, but in the Jerusalem Bible it says, "Jesus armed with the Spirit." When Jesus goes out to meet the devil, he goes out armed with the presence and the power of the Spirit to do battle in that desert place with the devil and with temptation. And then Luke takes us on. We go on to the next story that he brings us to. And you won't be surprised that once again it says, Jesus, filled with the Spirit, goes back to Nazareth, to the town where he was raised. And we read there that they brought him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And as he reads those words, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to go out and to bring good news to the poor, to gather those who are broken, to set the captives free, to bring sight to the blind, and to declare that the Lord is here, that his kingdom is among us." Jesus said, "I am filled and anointed with the Spirit of God." And confirmation points us to the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God that floods through those opening chapters of Luke's Gospel. And we pray that it's the Spirit who floods our lives. So today's Gospel was the story of Mary and Joseph, according to the custom and according to the law, bringing the infant Christ into the temple. And these words were read for us just a moment ago by Chris. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And so we learn about Simeon that he was a righteous man, he was a devout man, and he was a man who was doing what most of us find so hard. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah that the prophets centuries ago had said would come. I wonder how many babies Simeon had seen pass by. I wonder how many proud parents had seen bringing their children into the temple to be blessed and dedicated. How many had come to sacrifice and to give thanks for the gift of new life. And then one day, before I think he knew he was speaking to, before he met them, he sees a couple carrying yet another most precious baby into the courts of the temple. And he knows, the Spirit shows him, this is the Messiah of God. This is the Saviour. This is the one whom God had promised would come to set his people free, to lead them from darkness to light, to take them from death to life, to take them from sorrow into the joy of his presence. The baby comes. And this is what we read, that it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit was upon him. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray for these confirmation candidates. I'm going to ask you to pray particularly for three things for them. The first is that the Holy Spirit may be upon them, that they will know the presence, the peace, and the power of God each and every day. Norma was asking whether I'd baptized anyone as young as her, as mature as her before. And Norma was saying she's waited a long time for this moment. The Spirit has led you and brought you to this moment. And yet, Norma, we pray for you as we pray for all the candidates, that the Spirit will be upon you in a new way, that you'll discover a new joy in following Jesus, that you will know in a way that you may never doubt that Jesus is your Saviour, that Jesus is your Lord, and Jesus is your friend who walks alongside you every step of life's journey. The first thing we learn about Simeon was that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then we read this as well. It says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. There's the Spirit working again, that he would not die before he saw the Christ. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. And as you go on, as you open the scriptures, as you read God's word, may the Spirit lead you and guide you. All of us here would say there are times in life where we have difficult decisions to make, where we come to a crossroads and we're uncertain which way to go, where sometimes we're uncertain what it is that God is calling us to do or to be and how our life should go forward. Norma and the other young ones among you, as you come to those great moments of decision, may the Lord reveal what he is calling you to be and to become. Look for the Lord to reveal his path and his will, and you'll find that he will lead you and he will guide you and will go with you. And so we know the Holy Spirit was upon them, upon Simeon. We pray that for you. We know the Holy Spirit was revealing the will of the Father to Simeon. We pray the Holy Spirit will reveal God's word and God's ways to you. And then thirdly, it says, moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. He went deeper into the presence of God. Having met the infant Christ, he took that in his worship into the temple itself. And we pray the Spirit's going to move you in amazing and wonderful ways, that you'll have great influence upon friends and family and work colleagues in the years to come. The Spirit won't just be upon you for your own blessing, but the Spirit will, like a flood, move through you that you may be a blessing to others. That the Spirit will move you out in joy and in peace and in love with the love of Christ. And also, and particularly, that the Lord will take you deeper into his presence. That's one of the things that confirmation is about. Praying that those to be confirmed will know in their heart and their life the Holy Spirit, his power and his peace, the Spirit of Jesus. That the Spirit will lead these young people in new and wonderful ways. And that the Spirit will move them out in order that the glory of God may reach every part of the world. And so as we pray for them, let's pray too for ourselves. Maybe some of us have walked with the Lord for many years. Maybe like John the Baptist, the Spirit of the Lord was with us from our earliest memories. Maybe some of us are not yet sure whether we are truly followers of the Lord. Maybe be encouraged by the courage and faith of these being confirmed today. And may each of us make our response: Jesus, be my Lord, be my Saviour, be my friend. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit and move me out in power and in love to bring glory to your name. Amen.